Turkish delight. I had not thought of that, but I do love Turkish delight. Wow, well, praise God. It is so good to be here today. The reason I chose this is twofold. One, I think every pastor has kind of a heartbeat, something in them that they really value and want to bring to the table of most churches, and it's different for most of them. One of them for me is delighting in the Lord. I think it's hard to tell people about Jesus with a grimace. It's much easier to do it with a smile, even with tears in your eyes. And two, I had the opportunity to speak. I don't know if you guys have heard of the denomination called the Christian Missionary Alliance. But I had the opportunity yesterday to speak at a Christian Missionary Alliance conference in Sacramento at a Hmong church. You guys ever heard of the Hmong people group? Oh, it was so cool to be there. They have amazing curry. I delighted myself in that curry, brother. It wasn't Turkish delight, but it was Hmong delight. And one of the things that I talked about was delighting in the Lord. And so I just kind of wanted to share this with you. The context that I had spoke to them in was the context of delighting yourself in the Lord in the process of ministering. It was for pastors and leaders. And so today, I'm not going to focus so much on delighting yourself in the Lord in ministry, but just in general. And really, I went on this quest for delighting myself in the Lord when I started to experience a great deal of suffering. When I really started to experience mental illness, and my family is generations of mental illness, severe mental illness, and myself, I've not escaped that wounding. I started to experience that. I started to experience problems at church and at home and all these things, and I just started to not delight. And I was doing things out of faithful obedience, but it wasn't delightful for me. And so I started really, really reading and discovering the scriptures, a great little book by John Piper called The Dangerous Duty of Delight. If you want to get a book, that's a really good one. I started reading and started walking with my Jesus, and I just started saying, is this it? Or is there something better? And I know that suffering is a big part of being a Christian, and it proves to us that we're not home yet. But is there something better than how I was suffering? And the God kept bringing to me to John 10:10, where Jesus is talking about he's the good shepherd, and he says, the thief comes only to steal, but I have come that they might have life and have it to the fullest. What is life to the fullest? And are you experiencing everything that Jesus wants to experience in this life? Life to the fullest is a life spent experiencing and delighting in the blessings of God. In other words, it's a life of delight. Psalm 37:4, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. This word delight is a wonderful word. When you look at the original language, it has this exquisite enjoyment part to it. So to delight in something is to exquisitely enjoy something. For Lent, I chose to give up sugar, and it was not easy. And I remember being at a staff meeting, and someone brought strawberries. I had no idea how delicious strawberries were until I gave up sugar. Man, I took a bite of that strawberry, and Oh, I just closed my eyes and now, I didn't know I was doing it because I opened my eyes and the ladies across me are like, what is he doing? And I said, I'm sorry, I am just delighting in this strawberry. Right? You think of a child on the first Saturday of summer break, and dad says, we're going to have chocolate cake for breakfast. And that child, yeah, not only delighting in the cake, but in dad for giving him that cake. Have you guys ever heard of the restaurant called French Laundry? One of the greatest restaurants in the nation, okay? It's like going to the French Laundry as a foodie and going and just, I can't believe that I get to eat this meal. Every single thing that you eat, you delight in and you don't take it for granted. Or it's the first vacation after a number of years of breaking your back without a vacation. It's the first vacation. It's the first day of that vacation. You've arrived. You've unpacked. You've got everything settled. And the next morning you wake up and it's a vacation in a beach house with your own private beach access, 70 degree skies, and your favorite cup of coffee or tea. And you go out and you sit down. That is delight. Do that with me, is what God says. Delight yourself in the Lord. I love that. It's this enjoying of God's blessings. It's, remember, enjoy. It means to have joy in. In John 15, Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be what? Anybody know? Complete. God literally sent Jesus so that our joy would be complete. There's this strange thing about being a Christian a lot of times where we think we're just supposed to be miserable all the time. And there is a lot of misery that comes with being a follower of Christ. As your enemies increase, so does misery. When you are in Christ, you have just made enemies of the world and the flesh and Satan. That doesn't mean you can't still delight and enjoy the gifts of God. We delight in the Lord when we intentionally experience His blessings. Ephesians 5 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. So much of the younger generations today have such a hard time about being intentional, because they're just so distracted. So what does intentionality actually look like when it comes to delight? If you go to French Laundry and you sit down and eat with your doom scrolling, you can't intentionally delight in that. Being intentional, as the old saying, to stop and smell the roses. I remember just this morning, actually, I got here a little bit early, so I went out to the marina, and I was sitting there just delighting in creation, which testifies to God's existence. I had to be intentional about that, otherwise I wouldn't do it. It has to be intentional. You have to make the most of every opportunity to delight in the Lord, whether it's a cup of coffee or difficulties or suffering. Choosing to be intentional is so important. It's delighting in two different things. One is common grace. Common grace is the grace that all creation is able to experience. gifts from God for everybody. For example, taste buds. For example, creation. These are the things that everybody, it's music. You ever delighted yourself in music? What's your favorite kind of music to delight in? Mine is 80s R&B. I delight in some Anita Baker and Luther Vandross. I delight in that. It is so much fun. I listen to them sing about the love of their life, and I sing about the love of my life as they do it. Ain't there something I can give you in exchange for everything you've given to me? One of Anita Baker's songs. I delight in that. The common graces. Sports is a common grace. Could be an idol, but if you choose to let it be a common grace, it's recreation, it's fun, it's these things are beautiful. Play is a common grace. And then there's specific graces. These are the really good things. These are the things that only Christians get to enjoy, like salvation, like being filled with the Holy Spirit, like reading the Bible and understanding it. These are incredible. I love reading Psalm 23. I delight myself in the Lord through Psalm 23. I love reading the book of Hosea. I delight myself in that. I love reading the scripture. So many times as leaders, pastors, teachers, we look at the scriptures as a tool. Because it is a tool, right? But we don't delight in it. We don't read it to enjoy anymore. I remember when I first graduated Bible college, I didn't want to read the Bible anymore because I was so sick of writing papers. I forgot how to enjoy it. Delight yourself in the Lord through the scriptures, through salvation, through the body of Christ, through the gathering of the saints, through worship. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for leading us in worship this morning. It was delightful to me. It is so funny, as I mentioned earlier, though, that one of the great distractions of, one of the great disablers of delight is distraction. And for youngins, it's tech. And for us, maybe it's wounds or burdens. Or maybe it's sin issues that we have a hard time getting through. Or maybe it's just the frustration of the reality of this world. These distractions disable you for light. Miserable Christians have a hard time delighting in the Lord, but once they do, they taste it more sweeter than anybody else on the face of this earth. One of the biggest problems that we have with delighting in the Lord is that many of us, our problems are caused because our delight is corrupted. We delight more in the blessings than the blessings giver. It's like the kid enjoying the chocolate cake, not caring that it's dad who gave it to him, who's probably going to get it from mom later. We don't think about the giver of the blessing. We delight in the blessing. It reminded me of Jesus when he anoints the 72 to go out and cast out demons. And it says the 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submitted to us in your name." And Jesus said, "That's awesome. I praise God for that. I saw Satan falling like a star." And he says, "However, don't rejoice that the Spirit submits to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." So many times our delight is corrupted because it becomes about the gift instead of the gift giver. Or it's corrupted because we see success as an issue of delight, whether it's success in ministry. So if my ministry is broken and is unfulfilling, then I must not be able to delight. If my church isn't as full as I thought it should be, or I think it should be, I must not be able to delight in it. If my marriage is busted, then I must not be able to delight in it. If my work is unfulfilling, then I must not be able to delight in it. All of those are lies. That's just a corruption of our delight. When you delight yourself in your understanding of success more than the blessings that you already have, you make your obedience to God conditional. I will obey only if I feel this is delightful. But he says, delight yourself in the Lord. This is not a request. One of the worst things that we do with our delight is we delight in the self-mutilating effects of sin. Think about youth many times. It's youngins, it's teens who struggle with self-mutilation. They cut or they burn. It's an illogical way of dealing with pain. I think of people, and they say, well, they're just suicidal. And I think, actually, I don't think they want to die. I think they want to live. Trying to feel something. Trying to control pain that they can't control otherwise. That's all sin is. It is self-mutilating. I mean, think about the sins of selfishness. When you get so focused on yourself or your church or your ministry and achieving what you want that you lose the gifts and the blessings of serving others. Think about the disrupting of our delight through fear. Fear is one of the worst things. And it's not fear like Israel is experiencing right now. It's the fear of being uncomfortable. I mean, if I was to tell you, hey, I'm bringing 30 reformed drug dealers here next week, and they just got out of jail, and I've been discipling from a year, how would you feel? Hopefully you'd be like, amen! If I was in your seat, I'd be like, ooh. That's going to be rough. Okay? A lot of churches don't grow because there's a fear of being uncomfortable, of taking away of what people love it for. I was talking to some people at the retreat, at the conference yesterday, and a couple of white folk came up to me from a white church and said, do you think ethnic churches are divisive? And I said, sometimes, but not always. And they said, no, always. And I thought, I didn't say it, but that's because you're white. And you're around your people all the time. You know, you don't understand that. The hard thing that I've learned about being in ethnic churches is very similar to being in churches that like value their denominational affiliation or value their sports ministry church. When you take that away, it makes people uncomfortable. It makes people wonder if this is right. I've invited people to my church time and time again, and sometimes people are like, well, they're not Japanese. And I'm like, yeah. I don't want to step over the guy who got beat up with the priest and the Levites because they're not Japanese or Asian or good at sports or because their sins are not illegal. Fear will disrupt your delight. You know, when I'm walking on water towards Jesus, I want to be laughing, not cringing. Because when I take my eyes off Jesus and put them on the waves around me, I see. But when I keep looking at him, like a little kid, like learning how to walk first time, you know? What if they're like, no, never. I mean, it would be ridiculous, right? You want them to take that risk. There's that fear. Let me just ask you a question. Why would any of us, any of our churches organizationally, or as Christians, personally, why on earth would we want anything less than the blessings Jesus already died to have to give us? Why would we want that? Jesus said, I've come that your joy may be complete. C.S. Lewis has this great quote. It's very famous. You've probably heard it, but it says, we are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex when infinite joy is offered to us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he can't imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at a sea. Listen, we are far too easily pleased. So how do you grow in delighting in the Lord, right? The goal of this sermon always has to be change or obedience because we have to trust and obey. So what that means is tomorrow we should in some way be striving towards something different. So how do we do that when it comes to delight? The number one thing that we do is if we create rhythm by doing things over and over again, and if there is sin that is keeping us from life to the fullest, then we just repent and rejoice. Why would we do that? Why would we? You have to look at sin as it really is. It is something that hates you, that lies to you, that makes you miserable. Why on earth would we want that? Now, I know that we've been Christians for a very long time, and sometimes the longer you are a Christian, the more sophisticated you get in your sin. So maybe it's a hidden fear, maybe it's bitterness, maybe it's a sort of anxiety or worry or doubt or rebelliousness. It is funny how sin cripples joy. Amen? What if you could sin and God would be like, it's okay, enjoy my blessings anyways? It says you're self-mutilating. In his repentance, David in Psalm 51 says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Why? Because he lost it. Why? Because he was in sin. Get rid of it. Rip it off and throw it away and rejoice in something better. Number two, delight in the scriptures. Read them to enjoy. One of my favorite things to do is to go out to dinner or lunch by myself. I don't go by myself, I go with God. And I had a date with him. And I read my scriptures purely to enjoy. So I think, what is the section that's going to bring me joy? So I'll read one of my favorite stories in the gospel, or a psalm, or just something like, maybe the Passover. It's just something that brings me joy. Start reading your scriptures to enjoy them. It's funny how we do things that we enjoy, oftentimes not even trying. Start to read your scriptures differently. To enjoy, like you'd eat that chocolate cake or that meal at the French Laundry or drink that cup of coffee on the beach. Three, delight in the tension of walking by faith, not by sight. Tension. Listen, church is not supposed to work without God. And yet, so many times, we do it without him, at least in our own efforts and intentions. It's like if the Holy Spirit ceased to be here, would anything change? I think that's a very important question. You know, we ask, where am I not walking on water? Where am I not walking by faith? Where am I firm in my sight? So many times we're like the disciples. Peter says, come to me. Jesus says to Peter, come to me. And he gets out of the boat. The disciples are like, that's great. And then I wonder if some of them are like, well, can I build a plank off of the boat towards Jesus so I don't have to walk by faith?
Do you know it's impossible for you to walk on water? But Jesus calls you to do it anyways. You can't do it without it. And how hard is it to do this? It's not very hard. But what's hard is this. That's the hard part. That's the place that churches and Christians should live in. In our marriages, in our ministry, in our outreach, in our purity, in our holiness, in our love. We delight in the tension. It's kind of like the kid on a blistering hot day, going to jump in the cold water in the pool. They're delighting, but they're like, and then they do it like, yes. That's where the church should be living. In that place. Delight in that tension. Don't reject it. Don't run from it. Love it. So get rid of the sin. Enjoy the scriptures. Delight in the tension. And four, delight in the Lord by honoring and enjoying the boundaries that He set for you. This was a hard one I had to learn through burnout, big time. Psalm 16:6 says, "The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance." Boundaries are the things that God sets up so that you don't get hurt. Boundary is the chain link fence around the playground. It's a good thing. Staying within your boundaries is a beautiful thing. What are some of the boundaries that He's set for us? Well, one is the boundaries of your gifting or your wheelhouse. I remember at a previous church, I was so burnt out from doing things that weren't in my wheelhouse. I think the wheelhouse illustration is I love that show, Deadliest Catch. And, you know, the captain has to stay in the wheelhouse. He can't go down and help them fish. Who's going to be in the wheelhouse then, right? That's where he's good. That's where he's supposed to be. You don't want the deck boss in the wheelhouse because he can't do the job of the captain. Captain can't do the job of the deck boss. You got to stay in your wheelhouse. What's your wheelhouse? I remember at a previous church, I went on sabbatical and I came back and I just had learned that there's really only four things that I want to do. Preach, teach, pray, and care. And whether or not those four things are done in vocational ministry or volunteer ministry, that's what I wanted to do. It was my wheelhouse. I delight in doing those things. That's why I love being here with you. I delight in our time together. But if you're like, can you come here and administrate for us all of these things? I'd be like, no, you don't want me to do that. I couldn't delight in it because I'm not gifted in it. What's your wheelhouse? In ministry, what's your gifting? You got to be using it. I remember specifically when the Lord taught me at a football game, I think it was the Niners or something, that Christianity is very much like playing on the field, whereas a lot of Americans treat it like being a fan. And it's the pastors that are in, or the leaders that are on the field. And if we like it, we cheer. If we don't, we boo. If it's really good, we'll give. We'll support our team. If they sink for a long time, then we'll become fans of a different team. And the whole time, Jesus said, "Get in the game. You were made to play this game. You weren't made to cheer. You're strengthened. You have gifts. You're supposed to be in this. Delight in that." Another boundary that we need to delight in is the purpose. I think every church needs to always have on its mind, what is our purpose and are we fulfilling it? For me, in my opinion, I think the purpose of every church is to love God and others through the Great Commission. Teaching people to love God, to put their faith in Him, and to obey Jesus. That's it. Am I doing that? If not, then I'm out of bounds. I'm a football player who's not playing ballet. Can you imagine an offensive lineman doing ballet? It don't look good. Sure, I like being around all the pretty petite ladies, but that's not where I'm supposed to be. I'm meant to be in the battle. What is the purpose of your church? What is the purpose of you in your neighborhood? Your home is a lighthouse in a dark world. You're there to bring hope to this world, not to just be comfortable or to seek other things, which is fine. Comfort's a beautiful thing, but purpose, the boundaries of purpose. And the last thing is just really the boundaries of delight. I only want to do things that I delight in, and I only delight in doing the will of God. Why on earth would I want to do things that I can't delight in? It's amazing what you can delight in. I remember there's a lady named Johnny Erickson Tada, who has an incredible ministry, Johnny has. And I was speaking at one of her events and on the issue of redemptive suffering. And I remember saying something along the lines of, when I go to heaven, I hope I can be in my wheelchair. And she delighted in what God was doing. That was a game changer for me. The suffering that you experience is meant to lead you to delight. It's like I teach with my 12-year-old. I started taking him to the gym and he loves lifting weights. But he sure doesn't like the feeling of the lactic acid in his muscles the next day. But what's that old saying when you work out or train? No pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. It's the same thing. We delight in suffering. We delight in the Lord. And what will be the benefit of that? Back to our key verse, Psalm 37:4. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Why? Because the desires of your heart are to delight in the Lord. To enjoy, to suck all of the juice out of this Christian strawberry life. To leave here as you're driving home and delight in the fact that you have a car. To turn your key in the door at your house, delight in the fact that you have a door. I have a friend who, he's passed away, but he had the most beautiful, he's a worship leader, the most beautiful, deep gospel voice. Oh my goodness. Take your breath away. So good, you almost didn't want to sing when he sang. You just wanted to delight in the blessings from the Lord. So in order to teach him to delight in the Lord, not his gifting, the Lord gave him throat cancer. And took his ability to sing. So one time I went with him to chemo. I met him at chemo. And he's literally in the room where there's like 8 or 9 other people getting chemotherapy, playing the guitar, delighting in the Lord, trying his best to sing songs to the people who are getting chemo. Think of the missional implications of that. He never would have had the opportunity to delight in the mission and the purposes of God if he hadn't gotten cancer. Suffering is meant to cause us to delight. Difficulties are meant to cause us to delight. And so the question that I want to ask twofold today is, one, personally, where is it that you're suffering and how do you need to delight in that? Now, if it's sinful, then obviously you need to stop it because it's ruining your ability to enjoy the life God has called you to. Sometimes I worry. I worry about my church. I worry about my kids, my wife. I don't do it in a way often. Well, sometimes I do, but sometimes I worry in a way that robs me of peace. Worry is meant to bring us to the throne of God and to leave that stuff with Him. So I choose to delight in the providence and the sovereignty of my good God. And it's so funny how that worry just evaporates.
And then as a church, delight yourself in the Lord. What are some things that God is calling you to do as a church? To bless the community, to love God and others through the Great Commission. What a blessing. What a delight you may be missing in if you're not doing it. Now, I'm not saying that you're not doing it. I'm just saying every church needs to be asked, am I sucking as much juice and flavor and savoring this strawberry of the Great Commission as much as I can? Or have I just settled for the old meal because it's comfortable? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Amen? Let's pray. Oh, God, I enjoy You. I enjoy You so much. I am so thankful for this life that You've given us. I pray that we would, as a body, that we as Christians, that we would truly learn to enjoy You even more. So people could say, what do you know that causes you to worship when you're getting chemo that I don't? Help us smile even through suffering. Help us rejoice. Help us delight in You. Thank You, Lord. Amen.